Dear Cosmo Babies, on this week's episode, we are talking to those of you who are loving this industry, loving your time in school, but already know that working behind the chair is not for you. And you're wondering how else you can break into the professional beauty industry. So enter our special guest, Erica Garza, and we are going to be chatting about how to take your career directly into that professional side of professional beauty and skipping the having to work in a salon portion. So thank you so much, Erica, for joining us on this episode. And I'm so excited to have you. I'm your host, Annie MacArthur. I have my co-host with me, Russell Mays, and we are going to jump right into this. Thank you so much, Erica, for joining us. I am actually like beyond excited to talk about this topic because I think that this is a narrative that goes beyond like so many people have this thought. You know, I know I did. I didn't want to work behind the chair and I just didn't know what else to do. So I went to school.
Yeah. And look at you now.
And look at me now. It works, people. There are paths in professional beauty.
Well, a lot of people think that that's the only option is I'm going to go to beauty school and work behind a chair for the rest of my life. There are a lot of other opportunities.
Absolutely. Yeah. So Erica, I would love for you to kind of give us a little bit of your background and what your journey in professional beauty has looked like and how you have gotten to now become a brand manager for a product company, and you still work behind the chair though. So a little bit out from behind the chair, but you were able to figure out another pathway beyond that.
You know, here's the deal. Like, our industry is so big. And I always thought going into beauty school, I would just be behind the chair for the rest of my life. In fact, my family said, don't be a hairstylist, be anything but a hairstylist. My mom used to say, you're so smart, go to college. I'm like, I don't want to go to school. So I went to beauty school because I told her, this way I don't have to bartend and wait tables, wink, wink. And she's like, oh yeah, no bartending. You know, anyway, moving forward, you should hear her now. She's like, oh, I'm so proud of you and your accomplishments. And I'm like, my accomplishments. And I start thinking about it. And it's true. Our industry has different like areas that you can be a part of without being behind the chair, like education and sales and, you know, different, you know, positioning of the brands and even finance, marketing, working with the stores. And so there's lots of things that you can do and be in our industry and be like 100% involved, still be impactful, still helping like shape lives, because that's what we inspire each other, whether it be with, you know, a razor and pair of shears in our hand, or whether it's speaking to a small group, a large group, or, you know, sharing ideas like you're doing. So there's a lot of things that you can do. And I started behind the chair. I was 19. And I just work. And I really wanted to color hair like all my colleagues, but I messed up this like first month out of school. I get this client, I totally mess up on her. You know, I literally got pushed out. I got sent home. I got written up. I got in trouble. I was like, I'm never coloring again. And I didn't for 4 years. And somebody walked into my salon one day. I had a little studio. It was kind of like a Sola Suite situation. And I was only 4 years in, and somebody offered me some education. And for hair color, I said, no, I don't know how to color. I'm too shy. I'm scared. They're going to know. And you know, that person, she was a sales consultant. So she worked for the distributor. She had no hair background. Like, she never was behind the chair, but she, you know, was in sales. And she used to sell motorcycles. She told me your story. And I was like, motorcycles? Wow. So now she's selling shampoo. She invites me to this free class. And I just confessed to her, like, I'm scared to go. And, you know, she came with me. She sat with me. She introduced me to the educator. I fell in love. And I was like, one day I want to educate. And I just kept going to all these classes. And I love the environment. And then one day, and the educator said, you know, you're here all the time. Why don't you pursue this? And I'm like, oh, I could never do that. And I did. And that evolved and led me into wanting to do that like more often and really be involved in that, which led me to pursue this part of my career where I'm actually now away from behind the chair full time. Like, I still work, you know, behind the chair at night and on Saturdays. That's because I have a daughter in college, but then also relevant, right, in the industry. So it's good to know. So it's good to know, like, what are the trends and what are the things? And it's good to follow up and keep up with that. Mm-hmm. But I really feel like I really enjoy the part of my life where I'm not behind the chair, but I still go into salons. I still represent a brand that I'm passionate about. I still get to talk with stylists one-on-one. I still get to empower them with pieces of education, regardless of what brand I'm with. You know, I still get to be in the mix of all of it and have the energy and get to know salon owners and people in the industry who are influential, but also people who do clients every day. And it's really, that fills that part of my heart where I'm not behind the chair, I'm not a stylist, but I still get to be in the industry full time and I still get to work with stylists and be impactful. So that's kind of like in a nutshell real quick. But, you know, part of it too is there were some restrictions that I have, like the older, I've been doing this since I was 19, I'm going to be 50 now. So it's been a while. It's been a long journey. There's a lot of things I learned about, but there was a time where my hands and my feet weren't agreeing with my career choice. And, you know, 12 hours behind a chair doing long Latina hair blowouts and smoothing and highlighting, and they all want to be J-Lo. I mean, who doesn't, right?
Yeah.
But
I want to be J-Lo. Come on. Let's get serious.
Everybody wants to be J-Lo.
Where's that filter where I got long hair? Where can I get that long hair filter?
We'll find you some extensions.
So how did you make the transition from working behind the chair and being an educator into going and being a brand manager? I mean, because that's how does one make that leap?
So, you know, honestly, it's connections and people that I know. So this is a beautiful thing about going to beauty school is you get to meet, you know, a group of people who are instructors. And then you go outside of beauty school and it's good to know salons and salon owners. So even if your passion isn't like directly working behind the chair, I really, if I could go back in time and start over, I would get to know all the salons in my area. And I'd be like, hi, I'm Erica. And I just wanted to meet you and just see what your salon looks like. And then what I particularly did is I looked at my brand first that I educated for on a freelance level. Mm-hmm. And I called and said, do you guys have anything for me in this kind of area where I can work salary, where I can be away from behind the chair, but still be in the salons? And at first they said, no, we don't have anything for you right now. And I'm like, hey, I'm so sorry. I got to find a brand who does. And see, that's the good thing is because my hometown is pretty small. And I was living there at the time. I now live in Seattle, which is not too far away, but I started making phone calls and I know the distributors because of course, shopping in their store. And I know some of the sales consultants, of course, because they would pop in the salon and leave me their information. And, you know, I kept those things and I would always say hello. And I'm glad in these particular times that I did, because I picked up the phone and I started saying, hey, I know you work for a different brand. What do you guys have that you know of? Hey, can you give me a referral? Can you introduce me to somebody? Hey, who do you know that could help me get in a situation like this, because I need to make some changes and I have to do them fast. So what's funny is after I hung up the phone and was sad with my current brand, 10 minutes later, they called me back and they said, hey, guess what? We might have a place for you. So this is what I always want to say too, is, you know, even when you hear no, it doesn't mean always no. Sometimes it means just not right now. Mm-hmm. And, you know, people, if we can turn dark hair blonde and we can, you know, throw on some extensions and make, you know, no hair, a lot of hair, then I think that we can create a space for people who are looking for something real specific, maybe not even know what that is exactly, but at least to say, hey, I don't want to be behind the chair, but I do want to be in the industry and I still want to work with stylists. What do you have for me? Here's my skill pool.
Yeah.
So when I came to my brand, I said, this is what I can do. I can talk about hair color. I can, and I'm not a design specialist, so I don't talk about design, but I do use mousse gel and hairspray. You know, I can talk about all the products that you have in your brand. I actually like the products that you have in your brand. That's a huge part. You know, you can't work for, well, in my opinion, being, you know, an artist, like, right, wearing all those labels. You can't be, like, not passionate about the stuff that you're selling or working with or promoting or, you know,
right.
So you have to really like what you're talking about or it shows. And we know. So I let them know, hey, you know, this is what I have to offer. I can talk about it. I love it. I have experience. You know, this is what I want to do. And so they kind of created this position for me where now I get to work with sales consultants. So it's all in sales. And people hear that word in our industry and they get scared, like, oh, I don't want to sell nothing. I'm not a salesperson. And you know, I'm not either, but I'm a storyteller and I like to share experiences and I like to ask questions and then I like to give solutions to challenges. So like, I'm not currently happy with my gray coverage. Even if you don't do hair, as long as you study and you know, like, well, what is it? It's an issue. What, you know, who's it for? It's for anybody who has gray. What can I use? Well, this brand has a gray coverage line. This is how you mix it. This is how you apply it. This is how you time it. Here's your results. And as long as you can follow a system like that, then you can have some success and still be knowledgeable about what you're talking about, even though you're not currently doing. For instance, I work with sales consultants who don't do hair at all. And they used to sell motorcycles maybe, or boats or houses.
Yeah.
And, you know, you get introduced to a brand, they learn about it. They learn what is it, who's it for, how do I position it? And then they go and they have a relationship with a salon or a stylist. And they say, hey, I know what you've been looking for because you told me last time you weren't happy with something like your gray coverage. I have something for you. Check this out. You know, you give them a gift of a sample or you show them, you know, whatever your tactic is. And then, you know, it's about building that relationship and then introducing something new and then closing that relationship up. And then the support, you know, it's not just here you go and buy. It's like consistent support. How are you liking it? What can it do better for you? Have you tried this with it? And you just keep that relationship alive. So even if you don't do hair behind the chair, I think the real key is relationships, being able to talk with people.
And whatever you do, do not come into my salon and solve my problems and help me do my job better. That is ridiculous. No, I think that sales gets a bad rap because of so many people that are very, very poor at it. But sales in reality is nothing more than me problem solving. Yeah. You have a problem. Do I have anything that solves it? If I do, then here, let me share this with you and show you that how we can fix that problem. Mm-hmm. If I don't, that's when sales becomes kind of slimy in that, oh, this thing ain't going to work for that problem, but I'm going to, you know, iron it in there. I'm going to force it in there. And it doesn't really work that way. So, yeah. You know, honesty and integrity, but let me break down a few things that people can really focus on is, you know, to make a transition from working behind a chair or from working in any sort of business aspect, you have to build relationships. I mean, Erica built relationships with everybody that ever came into her salon. You have to be open, you know, to whatever opportunities are out there. You got to put yourself out there so that you can possibly make a jump into a different possibility. And, you know, communicating, you got to be a good communicator. So for someone that's like me, that's an introvert, I look at all this and I think there's no way I can ever do that. But if I break it down into smaller pieces, like, okay, first thing, how can I learn to be a better communicator? I'm going to spend the next 6 months forcing myself to be a better communicator. Then when you do that, okay, how am I going to build relationships and friendships with a bunch of people in the industry? It's the same thing as doing hair behind the chair. It's just taking it one step further from being behind the chair. So I don't mean to step all over. I'm just trying to break down into baby steps what was going on here.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I definitely feel like you can tell that Erica's consultation game is fire. Like,
client comes in, she says, this is what you're getting. Sit down, shut up. You're going to like it. And you're going to pay a lot for it.
Oh, that part. I'm telling you, you want to know what taught me how to give a really good consultation?
I do, and yes.
Yes.
Messing up, redos. The word redo on my book. I don't have time, but now I got to make time. Yes. And I don't double pay. This isn't a double pay project. So I learned a long time ago that if you ask questions, even when they show you a picture, like I break the picture down and I go, which part of this do you like the most? And sometimes I got to cover up the face. Again, we all want to be J-Lo. Hello.
Exactly what I was going to say. I've had clients bring in pictures, and as soon as I put my thumb over the face, they go, oh, yeah, no.
It was her nose I really wanted. Like,
I didn't want all that warmth.
Like, yeah.
You brought me honey.
I really just wanted her eyebrows. That's all I want, the eyebrows.
Yeah.
Yeah.
For me, the thing, though, that I take away from everything that you just said was all of it for me went back to consultation. And I think such a huge takeaway from that is if you are somebody who is in school right now and you were like, I do not want to work behind the chair. I want to go work for a brand. focus now on those things that Erica was just saying that you can control in the environment of cosmetology school that you're currently in, and put those towards a job in sales or brand management or education or whatever it else. Because if you can go in and show that your consultation skills are fire and are able to then communicate that to a company and really show them that you are able to communicate with someone and hit all of those pain points of what people are doing and actively listen and then turn that into a solution, that's really what I believe companies are really looking for, is someone that can actively listen, can properly communicate, and can share what the brand is trying to either sell or share or provide or whatever that is.
That's the same thing that the salon hairdresser is. I mean, a client is looking for someone to solve their problems. My hair is garbage. How can you make it better? And really working behind the chair and the consultation is sales.
Absolutely.
I'm selling a result. I'm selling something that's going to make you feel and look better. I'm selling easier hair to fix because we're going to cut it this way. We just don't think of it as sales when it is really nothing but
sales. It really is a sales job. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And I think that, again, it's just such an important takeaway to, I think, to understand that, because once you are someone that graduates from cosmetology school, if that is the route that you're going down, like, Erica, what would that next step be like in reaching out to a brand with no salon experience, with probably no university or degree behind them, with just that cosmetology license?
Here's something too I was thinking about. A great idea, honestly. I know it doesn't sound like the most glamorous, but it's such an important role. If you don't want to work behind the chair and you're right out of beauty school, that first step, maybe salon receptionist or salon assistant, and where you're in a position to be with the people, but not necessarily be responsible for their outcome, you know, like stylist would be. And when you're in a salon situation, like whether it be, I know a salon that has a cafe and they're a medi spa and then the salon's on this side, but they're all one entity. I know people who say, well, I'm, you know, I love coffee and I have barista experience. So they go to this cafe, they work there, but they also get to integrate with the stylist. They get to know them on a personal level, the owner, and then from there, you know, referrals and suggestions, things like that. If you're real big with social media, so this is, I went to school in 1995, like I'm older. There was no social media. We had to take part. We had a piece of paper with all our info on it, a little 2x5 card. We had to give it out.
That was my social media. Here's my business card, girl.
I had to take pictures and get them developed, wait 2 weeks, you know, go to a little drugstore, get my, you know, and I said, here's my work. So I think young people have such an advantage today because they have social media. Now, maybe you don't like to talk, but maybe you are so amazing with photos and you love taking photos of the sunset, the dog, the, you know, flowers, whatever you have, and your social media game is amazing. That's a really great point of contact where you can start following, you know, the brands, the big brands, small brands, find out who's independent, who's just starting up, because chances are, like, you know, you have social media and you're really involved with that, starting to say, hey, you know what, maybe my skill set isn't in sales, but I am amazing with social media marketing. That's another aspect where you can go in and say, you know, I'm really great podcaster, I could do podcasts and do interview salons, and then start a whole movement with, like, what you're doing, Annie, like, something that is so foreign to me, like I never would have thought how it was going to be impactful. And it's huge. It's so big. And you share so much information at a touch of a button, and so many stylists can have access to it always. So there's that aspect with marketing, social media, and not just sales. But then there's also, like, you know, finance, believe it or not. There are people with, you know, experience maybe working in an office where they don't have a degree, but maybe there's a segue to go and say, well, I can assist, like, this, for instance, the distributors. The distributors have a whole office group of people who work in the warehouse. They pack the boxes that get shipped to the salons, the people that run operations, and then they get groomed in their positions to be advanced. Sometimes the company will take care of that education and that degree for you, you know, in so there's getting to know the distributors and the back work. Like, nobody thinks about the energy and the time and the skill set that it takes to put products in a box and ship it to the right person.
Absolutely.
But there's a whole system for that. And then there's people in customer care who take orders, who assist you, and they work for the distributor who contract with 20 huge vendors. So you're still in the industry and you're getting to know brand names that are really big and even the small private ones, depending on who you work for. And then from there, you make contacts, you build relationships, you can find out on their website what's going on and what they need.
Yeah.
So there's so many amazing positions that you can do without working on clients with your cosmetology degree, but no other degree, because Annie, I don't have a degree.
Yeah. Neither do I. Well, kind of, but I got it after my cosmetology license. Yeah.
I got a PhD. I'm a professional hair designer. No, but there's not one direct path. And that's the beautiful thing about the beauty business is it's all what you want to make it. There's no concrete path that you have to go get a 4-year degree, then you have to go do this and you have to do that, and then they'll consider you. No, you want to do it, take some action and mm-hmm. go do it. And the problem is what's preventing people from taking action to go after their dreams? And it's because they're afraid. They're afraid of failing. They're afraid the work's going to be too hard. They're afraid of looking too bad. They're afraid of looking stupid. They're afraid of, you know, someone's going to judge them and say, I knew you couldn't do that. You were too dumb. No, you go and you take the action and you fail anyway, because right. anytime you start anything, you're going to be terrible at it, and you get better as you go. So what's going to prevent you is you not taking any action. If you want to do it, just take the action, consistently step forward and go and do it. No one's going to stop you but you.
There's been this like kind of movement that I've seen on Instagram and social media, and a lot of people, it's a lot of like entrepreneurs, artists, people like that, and they're kind of reframing the way that they talk about going after positions, sponsorships, job, like all of those kind of things. And basically people are saying like, my goal is to get rejected by 50 companies.
They reframe it.
And reframe it. And I have, like, for me personally, it has been something that I have definitely like reframed in my mind of, okay, there's this thing that I want and I'm not really sure what to do, but at least if I start and I put a goal of getting rejected by 50 people, it probably means I reached out to 100 companies, mm-hmm. 80 companies, because not all of them are going to reject you. Also, you know, you're going to learn a lot about communication and emailing and how to present yourself and all of those kind of things. And I love that mindset, because I think that even if you are in school right now and you are not licensed and you are trying to figure out where your future is headed, go get rejected as much as possible.
My dad used to tell me, because he was a hairdresser as well and a barber, he goes, if when you tell the client that you've raised your price, and they didn't gasp when you told them what the new price was, you didn't raise your prices enough. So, oh, well, Miss Ratchet, that's going to be $160. Yes, I know, but it's worth it. Oh, yeah, well, I guess so. Who else is going to do my hair?
I love it. Yeah, but I think that like reframing, like it really changes a lot, you know, because I don't know, in this industry, the other thing too is that it can sometimes feel a bit like a funnel. Just the way that we have the industry set up and the way that it is like legally. And a lot of it is really not our fault or we're able to change a lot of it. But like in a lot of places, you either have to go to an apprentice program within a salon, or you have to go to cosmetology school and get your license. And then you have to do the next step and you have to do the next step. And I think that it's really empowering to show that like, you don't have to do shit. Like you can do whatever you want and like figure out your own path in the industry. You know, you don't have to go to cosmetology school and go work behind the chair. Is it gonna better well-round you and give you a more open mind and concept about the industry? I think so. I think that there's a lot to do. I went and worked in a salon and I worked on clients for a very long time, and I think it added quite a bit to what I'm able to provide now as a human being. But not everybody has to do that. You know, I think that there's so many other ways just to like enter the industry.
So yeah. Miss Erica, so say that I've gotten out of school, I've got my paper, I've got my license right here, I'm ready to go. What would you suggest would be a good approach for me to be able to go and work for a product company or a beauty brand or something like that?
So first I would say Love that. Work up a resume, regardless if it's online or on paper, you know, whatever it is, work up, because even though, like we say, oh, you know, I'm not good with sales, you have to sell yourself. You have to show, and all you're doing again is telling a story about yourself, about who you are, what you're passionate about, what you'd love to do, and find out, is there a place for me here? So the first place I would say is like the distributors. Wherever you buy your professional product, it's a really great place to start. And even if you have like a showroom or a store in your town or your city, go in there and say hi, introduce yourself. Like, I'm Erica, you know, and are you the manager? Oh, you work here too. Yeah, great. What's it like here? How do you like it? Oh, that's great. I love the brands you have here. I was wondering, I'm going to be putting in my application, but I just want to come by and say hi and introduce myself. I was wondering if you could tell me, like, who would be the best person to ask for if I were to call? Oh, your manager? Oh, great. Oh, their manager, the regional man? Oh, online only? Okay, great. So find out. The distributors are the best place. And then again, whether you want to work, like maybe you want to do like the actual manual labor in the warehouse, or maybe you want to be in the office setting, or maybe you want to be with customer care. I don't want no one to see me, but I'll talk on the phone. That's a great safe place to start. And then also maybe some key salons in your area. Like, are you looking for an assistant? You know, it's funny. I saw on Facebook the other day somebody in my hometown who she is the extension queen, and she put on her Facebook post looking for an assistant, and in caps she said not to do hair, but she needed an assistant to help her with all her clients, her social media. She can't do everything. She's like, I do not want somebody's hands in the hair, but I need someone to work with me who understands what I'm doing. And that was
Oh,
so
I
I
love that.
go to social media and look at the salons and see, you would be so surprised. I know, like if you're in school right now and you're listening, and I know it just seems like so big and overwhelming, but you want to know something, you would be so surprised. We need help too. Like in the salon owner, manager, oh my God, we need help. And so, you know, maybe seek through some of the key salons in your area, and then also on social media, take a look and see like whose social media game is not good. And maybe that's your forte, and you know, you can go and say, hey, I could do something for you. This is who I am. This is my experience. I just graduated. I have my cosmetology degree, so I understand positioning, lighting, angles. You know what certain things to pair up when you're trying to promote. Are you a color salon? Are you an extension salon? Are you a barber shop? I can help brand you. And so, see, really, I'm just telling a story about what I'm good at and what I want to do. So whatever that is, find out what that is. Start with your distributors, key salons in your area. Social media is a great place to look for who needs help. And then, you know, online, when you look at say your favorite brand. You look at your brand, every brand has a website. Every brand. If you scroll to the bottom, there's a word that says careers. Click on that. Click on that and get your 50 rejections, starting at all the big.
Absolutely.
You know, rejection is hard word for me personally. I
Same,
never,
same.
ever, oh man, it's hard. So when you said to just, you know, reframe that and you know, change it instead of I'm too scared. Be like, you know what? I'm gonna get 50 no's because in those 50 no's, I know I'm gonna find one that's a yes or something like
Absolutely.
that. At least you're getting your name. That's what I would suggest to start with.
So
Yeah.
build some skill and then sell that skill.
Yeah.
So if you want to be
100%.
in the beauty business, what part of the business do you want in? Do you want to
Yeah.
be in the distribution side of it? Do you want to be in the marketing side of it? Do you want to be in the financial side of it? Build some skill that will add to one of those categories and then go sell yourself. So you have to invest in yourself and educate yourself. And a lot of people are doing this subconsciously, naturally. Like a lot of these young guys are so good at social media, but don't think that they are and don't think that that's a skill that's saleable. And there's like, if I had someone to do my social media account, oh my gosh, I would be so happy if they made me look good. It's such a pain in my ass to do social media. And Annie's always on me, Russell, you gotta do some content. You gotta do some content. I'm like, I'm too busy. Nurse Ratchet wants her hair done. Ma, I can't take pictures of Nurse Ratchet. She's angry.
It's though. I love it.
So I feel like this has been honestly nothing but good advice from Erica this entire time. But I have one more question that's advice based. And it's my favorite question to ask. So I'm like, I have to ask it, especially to like my favorite people. So, Erica, advice that you would give yourself back on that very first day of cosmetology school, what would you tell yourself if you had the opportunity to go back in time?
Oh man, you know what's funny? I was thinking about this last week. I really was. And I would say, don't be so hard on yourself, Erica, and don't be so afraid. I was so scared because I was, I wanted to be so good so fast. And it really is learning. And it's okay to be honest and say, you know what? I'm really not skilled enough yet to create this look. It's okay to refer to someone else when you can't do anything. It's okay to say, you know what, I love this, but this is a project and we have to take it in small steps. So today's visit is going to look like this. It's okay to take control of your space. I would tell myself that a lot because, you know how many redos and cr nights I would cry going home. Like, I'm not.
Oh
And if I would have just learned how to say, you know what, I love this inspiration, because that's what it is. I'm not
no.
a hero. But today we're going to do the cut, or today we're going to just work on this because it's a process. I would tell myself that, and I would tell myself, don't stop expecting that you're going to be everything for everyone, because you're not, and you're going to
Yes.
make mistakes, and it's a learning process for yourself. That's I would tell myself all of that.
I love that. Like honestly, like that's such like big snaps for that because I feel like it really is like the core of like everyone who is listening needs to take that to heart because I don't know, I was so scared too going into cosmetology school and it that I would have told myself the same thing. So
Really afraid, and I would compare myself, and I'm still working on this one, Annie. I don't stop comparing because I look on social media, I look at people who are wizards with their razor. I don't do a fantastic razor cut, I'm afraid of it, and they're over here making their whole life about this awesome razor look, and it looks phenomenal. And then, I look at people who are just like blonding gurus, and maybe my blonding doesn't look like theirs, but that doesn't mean mine is not great. So I just have to keep telling myself, like, I am who I am. And if I could go back in time, I would hold my face and I'd say, Erica, you're doing great. You're going to be great no matter what you decide to do. Just keep your heart in it. Because once you take your heart out of something, I speak from experience, it just tanks. It's no fun, but it's also not impactful. And like, why are you here anyway? So,
Absolutely.
in life, I want to make a difference, like in a good way. And I can't be everything to everyone, but if I can find my place, and if I can be just the very best I can be in my place that helps fill me too at the same time, then I feel like I'm doing something good. And so, whatever area you pick, maybe it's not behind the chair, but maybe it's assisting behind the chair, or maybe it's in another direction, like working for the brand or the vendor or the distributor. Wherever that is, there is a place for you. There really is. We need you. We need you.
Yes, absolutely.
Thank you so much for joining us. We really appreciate it. You can find us on all the popular podcast, websites. What is it? What am I calling? I don't know. Oh my
We're on
gosh.
everything. We
We're on
stream
everything.
everywhere.
We stream everywhere. We got YouTube as well, so you can watch the podcast as well as listen to it. Let us know what you'd like to see in the future. Drop us a DM and we appreciate it. We will see you all next time. Thank you, Annie. Thank you, Miss Erica. And we will see you soon. Bye-bye.
Bye.